Day number 7, Perek Bey's Mishnah Ches, the very last Mishnah of this second Perek. The last two Mishnayos didn't talk about Kriya Shema at all, because if you remember 2 days ago, the Mishnah introduces to a case in which Rabbi Gamliel acted differently than the way that he paskened. He said that a groom does not have to say Kriya Shema on the first night of his marriage, and yet he himself did say Shema on the first night of his marriage. So the Mishnah took a break to give us other cases in which Rabbi Gamliel acted differently than the way that he paskened. But now our Mishnah is going to return to the topic of Kriya Shema, and in fact to the very topic that we had been discussing before. Chasan, a groom, imratzel likros Kriya Shema laila rishon, if he wants to say Kriya Shema on that very first night, even though he's exempt, kore, he's allowed to, meaning exempt does not mean forbidden, right? Pater does not mean usher. He's allowed to if he wants to. But not everyone agrees. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, lo kol arotza li tolas Hashem yitol. Not everyone who wants to take on the name, so to say, who wants to take on the reputation of being overly righteous should do so. What does that mean? Well, the entire purpose of the exemption of saying Kriya Shema was because the chassan is going to be preoccupied with a different mitzvah, the mitzvah of being intimate with one's spouse. So he will not be able to have proper kavana, the kavana that Shema deserves, he won't be able to have it, and therefore he is exempt. Now imagine a person comes in and says, you know what? That's for most people, that's for the average Joe, but I am awesome. I can absolutely do both. I can be involved in this mitzvah, I can also have a perfect kavana for Shema, so even though the ordinary person can't, I'm pretty great, I can. Says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you're not so great, right? Don't think so highly of yourself. Now, he's not telling us that we shouldn't have self-confidence, right? We shouldn't have self-love, but what he's pointing to is a really important idea in halacha. It's called yuhara, and halacha warns us against it. It's the idea of religious arrogance, religious conceit. Someone saying, hey, look at me, look how great I am because of how religious I am, of how stringent I am in halacha, right? The purpose of halacha, and this is my understanding of it, the purpose of halacha, the purpose of the Torah, is to help us build relationship with people. It's help us make the world a better place. It's not about us. It's to help us build a relationship with God, with the creator of the world. That should give us perspective. It shouldn't give us inflated egos. It should actually put us in our place, not in a negative way. We shouldn't feel like we're nothing, insignificant. But there's an element of humility that's involved there. And when religion is used for the opposite of that, when religion is used not to develop a relationship with God and not to help other people out, but for self-promotion, for people to say, look at me, that's really quite disgusting in a sense. And Shimon Gamliel says, really be very, very careful about that. I think there's one beautiful piece here also that I haven't seen anyone bring up, but I think is true. And that's that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the one who says this, right? Who is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Who is his father? Rabbi Gamliel, right? Rabbi Gamliel was the one who did say Kriya Shema on the night of his marriage. It's almost as if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is almost like sticking up for his father, right? Saying that, hey, my father was a very particularly righteous person. He was a tremendous tzaddik. But not everyone should think that you're Rabbi Gamliel. Not everyone should think that you're my father, right? You shouldn't think that you can also do this like my father did. My father felt pain when he couldn't be mekabel al malchus shemayim. Not everyone's Rabbi Gamliel. So I love that idea of him almost like sticking up for his father and really kind of showing that awe that he had for his father. Okay. Once we were talking about this topic of people who are exempt from Kriya Shema because they're involved in a different mitzvah. The case that we were talking about was involved in the mitzvah of being intimate with one's spouse. So now the next parak is going to start with other cases in which someone is exempt from Shema because they are also preoccupied with the mitzvah. Says Parak Gimel Mishnah Aleph Misha Meso Mutalafanav. Someone when they passed away but before they're buried, so the relatives have a status of aninus. A person is called an onei, right? Once the relative is buried, so those next 7 days, a person is an avel, a mourner. But before the person is buried, between death and burial, the relatives have the status of aninus. And in that status, says the Mishnah, pater mikriya shema minat filin, they are exempt from shema, from davening and tefillin. And the truth is, the halacha is that they're exempt from all mitzvos. Why? Because they're preoccupied with the mitzvah of burying the dead. That's a tremendous mitzvah. And on top of that, they're already in pain, they're distressed from the fact they just lost that relative. Those factors combine to say that they're really not in the state to have to do other mitzvos. They should really focus on what's at hand. Once they're buried, then they can go back to keeping the mitzvos. And the truth is, even if you're not the relative that's directly responsible for taking care of the funeral arrangements, still, technically, until the person is buried, that relative is buried, it's really upon all of the relatives, all of the 7 closest relatives, and therefore they all have the status of an onein. Okay, Nosei Hamita, people who are carrying the coffin, right? The pallbearers, that's absolutely a major part of the mitzvah of burial, right? So those people, the chilufein, the reserves, meaning the people who are ready to take, to replace the pallbearers, to almost like the bench, right? The second string. The chilufei chilufein, and then the third string, the people who are going to take it from the second string, right? Eish lefnei hamita, the people who are in front of the coffin, the eish la'achar hamita, the people who are behind the coffin, all people who are involved in the mitzvah in some way or another of burying the dead or carrying the coffin to kvura. This is the halacha. Esh lemita tzarach ben, the people who are really necessary for carrying the coffin. I mean, the people who are carrying in that moment, or the people who are really on deck. They're right there. They're on call. They're about to carry it. Those people are paturim. They do not have to say kriyat shema. V'yishein lemita tzarach ben, the people who are not really right on deck. People who are kind of hanging around. They're ready if they're needed, but they're really there to kind of show respects and kavod ames. They're not absolutely needed right then. They're a chayev in kriyat shema, right? But says the Mishnah, elav elav patur mitfilin. Both people, whether you're absolutely necessary in that moment, or you're someone who might become necessary, but you're kind of there to help out, both of those people are exempt from tefillah. So they're not exempt. Only one category of people are exempt from Shema. The people who are absolutely necessary are exempt from Shema, but the people who aren't necessary in that moment have to say Shema. But both of them are exempt from tefillah. Why? Shema is the araisa. Shema is a mitzvah in the Torah itself. And therefore, anyone who can do it absolutely has to. So the people who are involved in the mitzvah right then don't have to, but everyone else really should, right? They really have to. But tefillah, Shemona Esrei, is a derabanan. It's not in the Torah. It's a decree of Chazal. And therefore, there's a little more leniency there. And therefore, anyone who's involved in the mitzvah in any capacity, whether you're absolutely necessary or not, are pater from tefillah. We will continue tomorrow with Mishnah Beis.